13, please. We'd like to conclude this message this morning on ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord. Again, we welcome our visitors today. We're delighted to have you. We really are. We're happy to see you here today in God's house. We welcome each of you. And we're just glad that God is God. Amen. And there is no rock like our rock. Glory to God. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible says that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Imagine that. Imagine that. A people living, ministering to the Lord, the third person of the Godhead, speaking to that group of men, five men, the elders of the church, speaking specifically, speaking directly, and telling them something specifically. "I want you to separate me, two men, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I've called them to do." Imagine that. Holy Ghost giving direct, specific orders to the church. That age hadn't passed. That age hadn't passed. Would you say amen to God's word? Amen. You may be seated this morning. If you haven't been here to hear the messages I've been preaching on ministering to the Lord, you're welcome to get and ask for the CDs. You can ask Brother Andrew. I have talked about what it means to minister to the Lord, and we're certainly not going to go through and cover that again. But I stated four principles in reference to what it is. And then now what I want to share with you, as I shared Wednesday night, I'd like to conclude this morning on the results of ministering to the Lord. And I talked to you, first of all, I'm just going to share five of them, no doubt more, but I'm sharing five of them with you. And the first thing that comes out of ministering to the Lord is that God will reveal Himself to you. Whenever you spend time ministering to the Lord, whenever you spend time before Him, opening your heart and your soul and your spirit to God and listening to Him and seeking Him and wanting to know Him, wanting to be in His presence and know the manifest presence of God. God isn't going to shun you. God isn't going to turn you around. If your heart is true and your heart is right with God, God is going to reveal and manifest Himself unto you. He is going to make His presence known. Glory to God. He doesn't leave things to our imagination. He doesn't leave things for us just to come up with our own ideas or to somehow stir up some kind of emotion so we can say we felt God. He's a real being. He can really manifest His presence. He can make Himself known. And so that without a shadow of a doubt, you will know that God is in the house. Amen. And you will be able to distinguish. This is not something that's just a man. This is not something that's on the ordinary here. This is a God that is the real, the true, and the living God. And you will be able to distinguish. We should understand that. Brother Al was teaching this morning, and when that Ark of the Covenant got in that old temple of Dagon, something happened that day that had never happened before. Something took place there because that has never taken place in that temple before. And they know they're not messing with some idol of some foreign nation now. They're not messing with some statue that's just been drug out of the mud somewhere or got from another pagan temple. I'm telling you, something's going on here that's different and's ever been done before. And that's what we need, a revelation of God that is genuine and powerful and lets us know that our God is real and our God is true and we know Him beyond the shadow of a doubt. The second thing we talked about Wednesday night is this idea that what will come out of that is a true perspective of life. And we spent some time with the 73rd Psalm. We spent some time, and it's such a rich psalm going through it Wednesday night. You might want to get the message, but it's just a powerful thing. And I'm just going to simply state the point and move on here this morning, and that is this. I will tell you, when you distance yourself from God, you distance yourself from the light. When you distance yourself from God, you distance yourself from the truth. truth, you're more open to deception. You're more open to the wiles of the devil. Whenever you distance yourself from God, you've set yourself up for unclean spirits to be able to come and bring their doctrines and to bring their seduction and to turn you away from the truth and away from his righteousness. And I will tell you right now, church, in our world, we've got to be aggressive more than ever, because there is so easy for the mindsets and the philosophies of the world to inundate us. There are more avenues into your life today than there used to be in our world and our culture. There was times when we lived in this world, go back and roll the clock back 75 years. I will tell you, there wasn't any such thing as a TV, or there wasn't maybe go back that far how long, or a radio. There was no such thing as NBC and CBS and these sort of things that we have to deal with today. And the way the internet did not exist. But right now in our world, there are avenues that are bombarding our mind every day. We can know what's happening in Russia as it happens. We can see what happens in China as it happens. We can know what takes place in Japan as it happens. When it used to be, they had to wait maybe a month to get the data. As it comes over, someone brings a ship over. Somebody rides over and tells us what's happening in another country. We were unaware of the things that were going on in the world. But I'm here to tell you, the world has got an interstate highway into your mind and into your heart and into your soul today. And you and I have got to be diligent to make sure we stay in the presence of Almighty God, or we will lose the real value and purpose of our existence, and we will come to misunderstand who we are and why we are here. If I've seen it once, I've seen it happen countless times. That it just, I've watched it. I've watched somebody, a person have something that hits them. It may be a sickness. It may be a family tragedy. It may be something with their job. It may be some kind of offense in the church. Something happens that just knocks them out of the saddle for a little while. It just knocks them out of the saddle. And they get back in the saddle, so to speak, and maybe 2 or 3 weeks away from church, or a couple of weeks, you know, they're just been ill. And maybe no fault of their own. Nothing that you could put any blame on whatsoever. But I will tell you that in that distance, in that time, maybe that 2 or 3 week period, there was no fellowship or contact with the brethren. And if you weren't diligent in keeping your prayer and keeping your Bible before you, and maybe you spent more time listening to the news than normal, maybe you spent more time reading something other than the Word of God, or maybe you couldn't even do any of those things, but I'm telling you, there will be a weakening of your being because there was no time to minister to the Lord. And then what happens sometimes when they get back in the saddle, they don't get back in it all the way, and they don't become aggressive and dig in and seek God. And then the distance gets a little more and a little bit further, and they begin to look at that world, and you become a little more critical towards the church. You become a little bit more distant from the brother. The preacher gets up and preaches, and it burns your hide and it tears you up, and you just think he's out to get you. And before you know it, you put this distance between you and the people of God. What saved the man of God in Psalm 73 was that when he was struggling, how did he become envious at the foolish? When the Bible said he saw their peace and he became envious at the foolish. But I'm telling you, what was he doing? Why was he observing the foolish? Why was he observing the wicked man? What time was he doing spending out there? But he had it. There was a contact. There was a time when he is sitting down and looking and is observing the world, and it's causing him to lose his footing. And he said, I almost slipped. I almost failed. I almost lost my solid ground, but I went to the sanctuary of God, and when I got alone with God, when I felt the presence of God, I learned what life was really all about. You don't dig back in. You don't be aggressive. You don't get yourself back in your regular routine of praying, seeking, attending, and getting with the brothers of Christ. You will get further and further and colder and colder until it comes to the day you will leave it and you will find nothing. You got to minister to the Lord, because out of that, it will keep things in perspective, and you will know that. I'm telling you, you get out among that world, you get influenced by its fashion. And if you don't get among holiness folks that are living it, if you don't hear it preached like it ought to be preached, we're not inundated with the philosophies of this world, and there's got to be a pulpit that is constantly crying out and bringing the truth of God to us to show us that's not the way it is. That's a lie, and it's of the devil. That's not how we live. That's not how we go. What says the word of God, and what does God have to say about this matter?
Amen.
If you don't hear what God's got to say, you will lose the true perspective of what life is all about. And before you know it, you'll begin to adopt those philosophies. And the world will look, or the church will look stranger, and the world will look more familiar. And you will look at the people of God and think that they are just fruity and eccentric and just going on some crazy path. And you'll begin to think that everybody else is wrong and you're right. I'm telling you, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof the way is of death. What saved Asaph as he went and found a sanctuary? He shut down the mess. He shut down the noise. He shut down the inroads into his mind. He quit looking at the foolish. And he got in God's place. And he got in the sanctuary where all he could do is hear God's voice. And when he shut down all that noise, God spoke. And he said, then I understood their end. I saw it then the way it really was. I got a real perspective of the picture. I got a real true look at what life is all about. Oh, I've had it happen to me so many times, church. There's times I've felt the pull of that world. There's times I felt the pull of things around me. I need to do this. I need to do that. If you're not careful, you think, man, I really want to have this house. I really want to have this car. And those things begin to consume you. But then I get in an old Holy Ghost meeting, an old-fashioned preaching of the gospel and the power of God moving. And all of a sudden, I remember who I am. I don't belong out there. I'm not here to lay up treasures in earth. I'm here to lay them up in heaven. I'm not here to chase the pleasures of this world. I'm here to chase after Jesus Christ. Glory to the Lamb of God. You get caught up in that mess. Tentacle after tentacle will wrap around you, and you become entangled with the things of this life, and you will not please him who has chosen you to be a soldier. God has drafted you into his army. He has chosen you. He has selected you out of this world. He has called you out, and he wants you to see things his way and not your way.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
The third thing that comes out of ministering to the Lord is this business of direction. Samuel, 1 Samuel 3 and 1. Verse 1 and 4, the Bible says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And then the Bible says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Now I'm going to tell you something. It's a sad day when God has got to bypass the elders.
Come on now.
And talk to what's just nearby close enough to be a toddler to get across his word to the people. Woo. When he's got to bypass Eli and his sons, and he's got to reach down and find a lad, maybe 4, 5, 6 years old or so, that's ministering in the temple. He's just serving and doing the work of God. And God's got to bypass all of that. And this young child is so new. He don't even understand what's happening when he hears the voice speak. He has yet been unable to distinguish between the voice of Eli and the voice of God. But I'm here to tell you, that's a sad day when God can speak and get more done with your children than he can with you, because your heart is hard against God. But I'm telling you what came out. Here's a young man. He ministered to the Lord, and God bypassed an Eli, and he bypassed Eli's sons, and he found somebody whose heart was open, who was ministering to him, and said, I'm going to give my direction. I'm going to give my leading. I'm going to give my word to him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he rebuked a priesthood through a child. Direction comes. We read it to you this morning in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Not after they ministered to the Lord, not before they ministered to the Lord, but as they ministered to the Lord. Amen. The Holy Ghost said unto them, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Can I tell you, at the great missionary endeavor of the world, the very first great missionary journey and trip that opened up the Gentile world to the gospel, that brought and established churches throughout Asia Minor, and that became the very backdrop of world missions, the very foundation of missions, and the establishment of churches, was not the result of a committee meeting on missions. It wasn't the result of a mission board who got together and discussed the best way that they can go out and reach the world. No, it came as a word of the Holy Ghost to five men that were praying and asking God for leadership. It wasn't the mechanism and the organization of men. It is the instruction of the Holy Ghost. And if there's ever been a day we need a word from God, we need a word from God. We need a word from God to tell us what to do.
Hallelujah.
We put more faith in our own ingenuity than the power of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I'm not against meeting. I'm not against discussion. I'm not against counselors. But I'm telling you right now that God will speak to us if we'll open up to Him. And too many of our meetings disregard His counsel. Too many of our meetings, we're sitting around trying to figure out our problem and hadn't taken the first time to talk to God about it and ask God what He thinks about the matter. We're going to this book and that book, to this person and that person. We're on the telephone here and there. We've researched it on the internet and hadn't taken 5 minutes to ask God what He thinks about it.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
true.
And our lives have no direction.
That's right.
We're spinning our wheels. We're getting nothing done.
Right.
And we're not accomplishing anything.
That's right.
Because we're not ministering to the Lord.
Amen.
Too oftentimes our circumstances befuddle us, confuse us. We can't see where we're going.
Right.
And our life becomes a vicious cycle. I'm just trying to survive. We keep looking for the window and it never gets open. We keep looking for the light at the end of the tunnel and it's never turned on. We keep looking for the day when we can escape and we never get there. We become more miserable and more miserable. We become more despondent and more despondent. And we get warmer to that world and colder to God and the church. I'm here to tell you something. What you need to do is find the sanctuary of God. What you need to do is get yourself away and shut down every voice around you except the voice of God. And say, Lord, I'm just here to talk to you. I'm just here to listen to you. I'm here to praise you for your goodness in my life. I'm here to exalt you for your kindness and your salvation that has come unto me. I'm here to let you know that you are the great God and that I can't live without you. You're the priority of my life. You're number one and I need you. I am but a servant. I'm a sheep that will go astray. I'm a dumb animal and as a beast. I need God to lead me. I need a shepherd of my soul. Help me. Help me, God. Help me. More and more I've been catching myself. I know we got to discuss things, but giving advice and counsel, and sometimes just a dilemma that we're in. And sometimes I find myself searching my head for an answer. I'm stopping me and saying, hey, wait a minute here. I serve an omniscient God. I serve a God that knows everything and cares about my life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The psalmist said, Lord, lead me in a plain path. He said, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Let them be ashamed who transgress without cause, but let none be ashamed who wait on thee. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, church, we're searching everywhere. We got problems. We got physical problems. We got emotional problems. And we're doing everything but talk to God about them. And don't tell me, well, Brother Woods, I prayed about it. Well, tell me what that really means. You've mentioned it in your little morning devotion. You've maybe put a prayer request at the church, but you haven't taken it to God and wept and waited until God came down and give you an answer. As you minister to the Lord, the direction of God will come to your life.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
One of the questions I hear more than many, many times is, well, Brother Woods, how can I know it's God? How can I know His voice? Well, that's a concern, because Jesus said, I know my sheep. My sheep know my voice.
Right.
They're mine. He said, everyone that's of the truth heareth me. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. John said it was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me the voice as of a sound of a trumpet. Ooh, glory. As the sound of many waters. And I turned to see the voice. He knew it. He recognized it. Ah, I haven't seen Him since He went away. He knew the voice, and He turned to see it. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as a dead man. I'm here to tell you right now that we need to know the voice of God.
Yes, Lord.
Now let me give you some simple things. How can I know it? Number one, you've got to make sure your heart is pure. If you want something bad enough out of a selfish purpose, you'll invent that voice if you need to. But it's only the answer of the own desires of your heart responding back to you, because it's something you want more than anything else. Now, it may be what you want and maybe what God wants too. That's all right. But you just need to make sure that within you there is no selfish motive. That within you there's no self-seeking, but that heart is devoted to the glory of God. And you've got to be serious and sincere in that heart that you really want God's direction. You're not just going to Him. You know how you get a child and they go and they ask their parent for permission. They really are not so much caring about the parent's permission or really the will of the parents. They just want to get an agreement. They want a yes. Because there's something they want to do, and they get upset whenever mom and dad says no. Why? Because they didn't care about the will of the parent. They only cared about the approval of the parent. And you can't go to God simply because you know, well, I can't get beyond God, and God won't bless me if I don't do what He wants. You don't seek His will so that it can be comfortable. You seek His will because that's what life is all about. We're here to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God.
Yes, Lord.
In other words, you want wisdom, you better make sure you ask Him in faith and that you really want wisdom. Because the man who really don't want wisdom is a double-minded man. He doesn't ask in faith. He's unstable in all his ways. And the Bible said, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. No, that won't happen. So sometimes I have to spend some time examining my motives. I have to spend some time examining my heart. And then I have to know that when I'm praying, God, I want Your direction. And I'm not moving till I get it. Because I'm not about to take a step where You don't want me to step. Woo, glory. But we got many times we're willing to take that step, and we take it in doubt. There's uncertainty about our direction. We're not absolutely sure it's what God wants. If you are willing to take a step without the certainty of God's will, then you are not living by faith, and it is a sin for you to take that step. I'm here to tell you, you should never take a step that you are not 100% certified and know that this is what God wants. I'm going where God wants me to go. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I've been in His presence. I've got the mind of God, and I know God is with me.
Amen, brother. Preach. Preach. Hallelujah.
Second thing is, don't look for signs. Listen for the voice.
Amen.
This is one thing that did change in the New Testament. God quit speaking through the Urim and the Tumim. God quit speaking through the stones on the vest of the priest. God quit speaking through lots.
Right.
Well, Brother Woods, they had lots in choosing the 12th apostle. They did, but it was pre-Pentecost. They didn't strike lots for the first missionary journey. The Holy Ghost spoke. Paul didn't go into Philippi by lots. I saw in a vision a man saying, coming over. And then when they would go to another place, he said the Spirit forbade us to go and preach the gospel there. I'm telling you, read the book of Acts and you'll find the people that were led and directed by the Holy Ghost. When the Sanhedrin told them they could no longer preach and teach in the name of Jesus Christ, they didn't go ask the world's philosophers. They didn't go get them some ungodly lawyer to represent them before the Sanhedrin. They went with their own company and they went before the God of heaven and said, oh God, you have made the worlds and you have made everything that's therein. And well did the psalmist say, why should the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth have set themselves together against the Lord and against his Christ. And Holy Ghost fell and filled them up.
Yeah.
And when the Holy Ghost filled them up, you want the result of what that was? They went out there preaching the gospel. And they contradicted the command of the Sanhedrin. But it didn't come out of a Bible study. It didn't come because they got down. And I'm not detracting from that. But it didn't come because they went down and found a philosopher. It didn't come out of a committee meeting. It came out of a premier meeting. Glory to God. It didn't come because they gathered in all the elders and the wise men and said, help us out. They got in God's presence. And we're not against talking about things. We're not against wise men speaking. In Acts chapter 15, there's a problem in the churches of circumcision. So they come together. First order of business when they get there is they tell what God's been doing. Fellas, let me tell you, God's moving in the churches. Let me tell you, souls are getting saved. Let me tell you, miracles are being done. Let me tell you, old Barnabas and Paul are up there and they're giving them a report. And then when they got all the report done and they rejoiced and gave thanks to God for the good things he was doing, they said, all right, we got a matter of business. And so they start talking. Old Peter, he got up and spoke, and some others got up and spoke. Now, we don't hear about it. It's not recorded by Luke in the book of Acts chapter 15 in that any kind of how the Spirit of God did it. But whenever James will give his word and then he will send out the letter unto the churches, the Bible said he wrote this, and it seemed good unto us and the Holy Ghost. It seemed good unto us and the Holy Ghost. It's all right to have the meeting. It's all right for us to share. It's all right for us to think. It's all right for us to understand and to know what thus saith the Word of God. But I'm here to tell you right now, we still need the Holy Ghost to confirm and let us know that we're on the right path and that he is directing our steps. I will not go where the Spirit doth not go. Let us be like Moses. If you don't go up with me, Lord, I will not go up. I will not go up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Ghost was withdrawn from the churches of today, 95% of what they do would still go on and nobody would know the difference. But he said, if the Holy Ghost was withdrawn from the early church, 95% of what they do would be shut down and everybody would know the difference. Just how much of what we do. That's why we're praying now. That's why we're having prayer this week. You need to be a part of it.
Amen.
That's why we had a day of ministering to the Lord a Saturday ago, because what we want to know about this church, I'm not interested in getting it out of a book called A Purpose-Filled Life that Rick Warren has got. I don't need some new fancy method that just came down the pike and has taken the church world by storm and everybody's growing their churches because somebody's got some kind of a new thing that's going on. Oh no, I'm telling you, we're the church of Jesus Christ, and this local church right here needs to hear from God. We need to hear a word of God that says, go here and go there and do this, and that we know we're doing it in the power of God's Spirit.
Amen.
There is something about it that when you know what you're doing is what God wants you to do, you can do it with confidence and faith.
And you will be able to endure every obstacle and overcome every bit of opposition because you know you're doing God's will. But when you step out and it's not in faith, when you step out in uncertainty, and then the hardship comes, I must have missed God's will. You've been second guess it. You begin to struggle. You begin to doubt. You begin to fear. Now you really get confused and you're uncertain what you're doing and where you're doing. I didn't plan for anyone to be here today. I'm just preaching what God gave me. And I'm here to tell you right now, God wouldn't let me preach it for 3 Sundays or 2 Sundays, and I guess it was meant for today. And so here we are today to preach it and tell it. This is what we've got to do. When I go forward, I want to go forward knowing God's with me and that I'm doing what He wants. Because then when the devil sticks his ugly hand in the work and when he sticks his foot out to trip me and I stumble a little bit, I face opposition, I can face it in fortitude, I can face it in faith, because I know God put me here, glory to God, and man or devil will not shut it down. Woo! Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Victory.
Too many times we're flopping our Bible down and hoping it opens up to a passage to give us light. We're going through the day looking for a neon sign to bump out and give us some kind of confirmation. The Word and the Spirit are sufficient to guide you. The Word and the Spirit are sufficient to guide you. I don't need a fleece. Now, folks may not like that. I don't need a fleece. I don't need a short straw and a long straw. I don't need a coin to flip. Come on now. Amen. I don't need a name put in a hat and draw out which one's going to work. I don't need any of that. I don't need to go somewhere. And it's all right to seek godly counsel. I'm not trying to dismay any of that. It's all right to talk to a man of God and say, brother, can you give me some direction from the Word? But ultimately, if He gives anything that's outside the Word, you better not stake your life on it. You better still, maybe you don't understand the Word. Maybe you're not sure what the Bible says. Just make sure you go to a man or a woman that's going to tell you what God says and not what they think. Listen for the voice. Thirdly, trust the character of God. What do I mean by that? Reason with me for a moment. Do you really think that God wants His people to hang under a cloud of doubt and confusion, uncertain as to what they should do? Is that the one of whom David spoke and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, He talks about, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." He talks about, "You lead me in paths of right. You lead me in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake." Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, you got to be convinced of something, that you need guidance and God wants to fill the job, that you need help and God wants to help you, that you need direction and God is willing to direct you. But many times we pray and we're uncertain if God really wants to help you. God doesn't want you hanging under a cloud. God doesn't want His children aimless. He's a father. He's a father. He's a father, and He wants His children to do what is right. Any good father will never leave his children in consternation. He will give them sound counsel and advice to help them on their journey. We only pray about the problem so we can say we prayed about it, not so we can get direction. "I got to pray about this because, Brother Wood, that's the first thing he's going to ask me. Have you prayed about it? And I got to make sure I can tell him I prayed." Well, that's why you're not going anywhere. That's why you don't know where you're at. That's why you don't know where you're going. That's why your life is aimless. is because you're fogging, you're foggy, and you're looking out in the internet. You're out there sticking your finger out in the clouds somewhere. You've just licked your finger and stuck it up to the wind and hope somehow the wind will blow your way. I'm telling you, God is a specific kind of God. God's got a plan. God's got direction. He doesn't know someone just sits up there rolling some kind of wheel or dice and saying, I think I'll send him over here. I'm telling you, he knows exactly where you need to be and what you need to do. And Jesus got up after a Sabbath day's work, and they went to look for him and said, the people are calling for you. You need to come back to the city. He said, nope, I've been with God. And God said, I need to go over and preach unto some other people.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God doesn't want you to live your life in uncertainty. That doesn't even make sense. It's contrary to his nature. He doesn't want you walking in doubt. He wants you to walk in faith. The certainty of Jesus. The certainty of Jesus. He steps out of the boat and he steps on the shore. And no sooner has he stepped on the shore, he just cast a legion of demons out of a man. And he steps on the shore, and the crowds come. And a man by the name of Jairus falls at his feet and says, come, my daughter's dying. Come and heal her. I'm coming. Let's go. And on the way, there's an interruption. The crowd is growing, and they're thronging him, and they're pushing and they're hustling. And he's got his 12 bodyguards around him, as if he needed them. Glory to God. But they're there. Yeah. And all of a sudden, someone has pressed through. Even the disciples don't notice it. They're close to him and they don't notice it. But she's gotten in and she's weak, but she's got a hold of him. She's got a hold of his clothes.
Yeah, come on now.
And just held on to it for a minute. There's a lot of folks grabbing him, but there's only one getting sucked in front of him. Oh, hallelujah. But this time, the Lord said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I just felt something leave me. I felt a touch. It's not the same touch. Everybody's reaching out to grab him, but it's just a grab as if he's a celebrity, as if he's someone. But here's somebody that don't care about his celebrity status. They got a need. They need some direction. They need some help. Glory to the Lamb of God. And they get a hold of Jesus, and he says, virtue has left my body. And there's a delay. You got to remember who is still leading the procession. There's a delay. There's a shutdown. Jairus doesn't have time. It's not on his side, naturally speaking. He knows when he left her, she had but a few moments left. And in the delay, Jesus stops. You know the story. Who touched me? It wasn't a simple touch. She grabbed a hold of him.
Yes.
Everybody's grabbing. Right. That's why I said, Lord, the crowds are thronging you. Mm-hmm. Everybody's touching you. What do you mean who touched you? No, it's a different touch. It's a different touch. I know this touch. Yes. I felt something. Somebody came with a different intent.
That's right.
Somebody wanted something out of me that wasn't for selfish purposes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. She got a hold of God. He shut it down. He ministered to her. And in the delay, Jairus' situation got worse. The servant come running to him and said, you don't need to worry about it anymore. Don't trouble him anymore. Your daughter is dead. It's over, Jairus. She breathed her last breath. You just will accept the inevitable. You just will take it as it is. And if that had been most of us, we'd have bellied up right there. And he did. And ain't nobody going to blame him. Fear gripped his heart. And he said, oh no. Fear gripped him. But out of there came the voice that calms the waters. Out of there came the voice that shuts the wind and the sea down and said, don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. I'm telling you, he'll get to you. He'll take care of your dilemma. You just make sure that he's calling the shots and not you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is never late. You've only got one question to answer in your life. It doesn't need to be the condition of your health. It doesn't need to be the age of your body. It doesn't need to be the status of your finances. It only needs to be one question. Am I where God wants me? Am I where God wants me? Have I done what God wants? Have I obeyed God? You don't understand my circumstances. You don't understand my dilemma. You don't understand how bad it is. You don't understand how much it hurts. You don't understand what it's like to be where I'm at. Oh, I may not. I don't understand the consternation of a 99-year-old woman or a 90-year-old woman that's needing a baby and has got a promise. I don't understand sometimes all you go through with when a man's got to be 100 years old and he's still as a promise of God. All I know is that God can do it.
Hallelujah.
We have let the charismatic world cheat us of our direction and our miracle and our faith. Because we look at our situation, and the words, "I don't know what I'm going to do," come off our lips too frequently.
That's true.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
That's true.
Well, I'm going to give you some biblical counsel. Shut it down. Shut your fears down. Shut your internet down. Shut your cell phone down. Amen. Shut your novels down. Shut your radio down. Are you going too far? Well, let me ask you, are you doing good where you're at? Well, if everything's hunky-dory, then why are you saying, "I don't know what I need to do"? I mean, if you've just got everything in control and you're getting it all from that and everything's just good and up to speed, then what are we having a problem with? I mean, you're the one that's struggling. You're the one here that's having a dilemma. I'm just telling you how to fix it. Go get in God's house. Go get in God's presence. Go in and shut the door. Shut the door. Don't put your phone on vibrate. Put your phone out in the kitchen. Don't put your phone on silence. Get rid of it and put it out somewhere. Tell your wife, "Don't call me, I'll call you." Woo! Glory, hallelujah. We'll get some direction if we'll lock in with God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You've got to become convinced that God wants to direct my life. And I need His direction.
Yes. Amen.
Don't you think God knows how to speak to you? Why are we so worried? In other words, I don't know how I'm going to know the voice of God. Wait a minute here. Now, this is a God that can speak to children. This is a God that spoke to men. He's been doing it for ages. Don't you think that God knows how to certify Himself to you?
Yes, He does. Amen.
Don't you think? That's why you've got to go in faith and say, "Lord, I'm praying and I'm waiting. And this is what I'm expecting. You'll make Your will known to me and You'll make it clear." That's all I'm asking. Now, do you really think that the omnipotent, holy, just, perfect, loving God who died to save you, who died to sanctify you, who died to lead you, who died to be your shepherd, who rescued you from the pit of hell, who snatched you out of the hand of the devil, I'm telling you, who took His lifeblood and poured it out your salvation, don't you think that He is ready to reveal Himself unto you and give you the direction you need? He will not leave His people in the dark. He will lead them by His right hand. Hallelujah. The problem is not about us understanding the voice. The problem is we really don't desire to wait for God to speak. We're impatient. We're self-centered. And we're aimless because of it. Expect direction when you pray for it.
Amen.
Expect direction when you pray for it.
That's right. Amen.
Now, there are times, matter of fact, many, many times. But, oh, Brother Woods, let me bring a balance, if I might. I'm really not so much a balance, but let me preach another aspect of this. There are many things in our life whereby we don't have to have God speak to us verbally by His Spirit, because He's already made the path plain in the Scripture.
Right, brother. Amen.
Now, when He's already outlined the path in the Word, He doesn't have to come and say it again to you. I don't have to have the Spirit confirm to me what is written in the book. That's already established. You take it. It's anointed. It's inspired by the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. It's already been written down by the Holy Ghost. And I don't have to have, in some sense, God to rearrange the constellations in order for me to know that what that Bible says is true. What that Bible says is right. Now, if in your situation, the direction and the thing that you should do is made very clear in that Bible, you don't need anything else. Submit yourself to God. Obey the Word of God and move forward in faith. Hallelujah. God will never fault you. God will never condemn you when you obey the voice of that book. When someone reads that word in the integrity of their heart and in their pure desire for truth, and the Spirit illuminates and the Scriptures are plain, and the man obeys what is plainly written in the Scripture, he has no fear of arriving on judgment day and being under the condemnation of God. Because God will never condemn a man obedient under the revealed will of God in that book. He will never condemn a man whose heart is out for truth and he found the truth in that book. What do you think turned the Reformation or brought a Reformation and turned the church world upside down? It wasn't so much that somebody got out some kind of microscope and saw a rearrangement of the stars in heaven. They didn't get gold dust that fell out of heaven. What they found is a book of truth illuminated by the Holy Ghost. And they just begin to do what God said to do. That's why you don't have direction. You're asking God to give you direction when you already know what you should be doing from the book. When He's already made it plain in the book, you don't need to go ask Him if it's okay to do it.
That's true. Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
That book tells you how you ought to be dressing. You don't need to go ask the pastor about it.
That's the truth, Lord.
If you already know it and it's made clear. If you don't understand it, get understanding. Amen. If that book tells you how you ought to live as a husband, don't go ask God if He's got another way. The wife doesn't need to be praying, "Oh Lord, do I really have to obey this man? Help me, Lord. Do I really need to obey this man? Show me, God, what to do. I don't know what to do in this situation." You know what you ought to do in your situation. Just do what God's Word says to do, and God will help you and God will strengthen you. I don't need to be praying for direction when the Word is clear. I need to be praying for grace to do what the Word says to do. I need to be asking God, "Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me and give me strength so I can do what You have told me to do." Minister to the Lord.
Preach.
I'll tell you what will come out of that. Not only will you have God revealed to you, not only will you gain a true perspective of life, not only will you get direction, you'll get salvation.
Glory to God. Yes, come on.
That's good.
The psalmist said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation."
Yes.
Whom shall I fear?
Yes.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. The host should encamp against me. He said, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I should dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, he puts that all in the context of salvation. This man does not fear his enemies. This man is not afraid if the whole army comes up against him. Hey, David, if you're outnumbered, don't worry about it, because I've been in the house of God. I heard from God today, boys, and I got a word from God, and God said, go on up. He said, because before I ever fought this battle, I went up and said, God, should I go up? Should I go up? Should I go up against the enemy? And God said, go up. So I'm on my way. Glory to God. What about a Gideon? You ain't got but 300. It don't matter. Glory to the Lamb of God. Because God will save me. I've ministered to the Lord, and God will save me.
Amen.
Glory.
Yeah.
Glory.
Yeah, come on.
A prayer meeting will keep you out of a lot of trouble.
That's true.
Amen.
That's true.
Avoid the prayer meeting, and we know why you got trouble.
Glory. Go ahead.
I'm being sincere and I'm being straightforward.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get in God's presence.
Amen.
And there's something's going to come out of that.
Yeah,
God will save you.
Yeah,
I've been serving the Lord for 41 years, made a lot of mistakes. But I can tell you, I was just thinking today, there have been numerous times in my life I have been in a pickle. I have been in a dilemma. I have been struggling. I have been in a situation where I needed help. And I mean big time, now time, I need help. I can remember when I needed direction. God wanted me to move. I'd been praying for God to give me a door and show me what to do. And my ministry just needed to take on a new direction. And I've been praying. I remember an offer came for me to move to Charlotte. And it about blew me out of the water. Charlotte. Sin City, Concrete City, move from the beautiful hills of West Virginia to the ugliness of that place. Forgive me, North Carolinians, but I'm telling you, I left Charlotte 22 years ago and didn't look back. Hallelujah. Thank God it was His will for me to come to Washington. But I'm telling you, Brother Al and I just recently landed in Charlotte Douglas International Airport. And I said, Brother, I used to live just a few miles from this place. And he said, did you ever get used to it? I said, believe it or not, you do. Every day it seemed like every little bit, big old jets are flying over my house. The panes in my windows literally rattled in my house every time they flew over. But you know what? You get to the place, you don't pay any attention to it. It's just the way it is. But I'm here to tell you, I've been in those tight spots. And I remember I left. I told my wife, I'm going to the camp. You don't call me, I'll call you. I'm going up. I got to get a word from God. I got to have something from God. I went up there and I'm telling you, I went up there and I started talking to God and praying. It wasn't long before God let me know what I needed to do. I remember in Charlotte, there was a problem we had. There was something that come almost to divide the church. I was in a consternation. I couldn't go to anybody. And I went in my living room, got on my face. I said, God, I got to have a word. I got to have you help me. And I'm here to tell you, not one time, John, not one time did he leave me hanging. Not one time did he leave me in fear. Not one time did he leave me to discover my own way.
Oh, hallelujah.
Right?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does. Amen.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah.
The times that being in the presence of God and staying in tune with God has saved me from the snares and traps of the devil. You want to know why you're so weak against that temptation? You know why you're fighting it? It's because you are not ministering to the Lord.
All right, come on, brother. Go ahead.
Good,
that's good.
You know why you're so weak?
Well, just measure how much time you've been ministering. Just measure how much you've let that book speak to you. Just measure how much Holy Ghost anointed preaching you've been listening to. Just measure it. And you'll find out why you're weak and anemic. I'm here to tell you. But I've still been out there in the presence of God. And a temptation come over me, Brother John. You feel like all the demons of hell just all of a sudden got turned loose. And they're pulling in every direction. But I'm here to tell you. God, save me.
Yeah.
God, save me. Did he look down and say, I'm not doing it? Not one time did he look down and say, I'll suffer a little bit. There's a hand that reaches down further than I can reach up. And in my time, like Peter, when I began to sink, that arm shot out and got a hold and lifted me out of my problem and my deliverance. Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Peter's challenge came to him as he was getting closer to Christ, not as he was even leaving him. I got to close. I got to close right here. The final thing that will come out of that ministering to the Lord will be very simple. The joy and refreshing of His presence.
That's right,
man. Well, John, I've thought about this thing and thought about it. There's some places my family has visited, and I've visited them maybe once a year. There's a particular campground we like to go to. We've probably been there 3, maybe 4 times. We like it. But can I tell you, I ain't interested in going there every day. And can I tell you, if somebody had to put me there every week, after a while I'd be saying, these camper walls are closing in on me. I don't care how pretty it is around here. I'm longing for 6151 Cherry Run Road. Now I'm going to tell you something. Thank God that hymn book's got 400 and some songs. I'd hate to have a hymn book that only had 3.
Right.
Yeah.
And John alternated every Sunday between the 3. I'm glad my God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. Yeah. Yeah. I got a lot of books in my library I ain't even read. Probably half of them. I've read a lot of them, but I certainly haven't read all of them. I don't know. I hadn't tried to count it. But I've read books. And there's some books I like to read twice. But there ain't no book that I want to read in my library every day like my Bible. Now, I like A.W. Tozer. But I'll tell you right now, after I've read him for a little while, I'm hunting another author. Yes, sir. I like Finney. But after a while, I like to read what someone else has got to say. Where are you getting at, brother? Well, this is what I'm getting at. But I've come to this church twice a week. Three times. I got twice 2 services a week, Wednesday and Thursday. And then Sunday we're here 3 times on Sunday, or 3 services. And I'm telling you, I come here, I preach out of that book. And we sing, John selects out of these 410 songs, I think, or 403, however many, it's 410 pages anyway. I don't know how many songs there is. But anyway, he selects out of that and we sing them. And we've sang some of them several times. But my, this time we sang, I'll Fly Away, and we felt like flying away. Glory to God. Sang it 2 weeks later and maybe didn't feel that way. But here's my point. My point is this. I've come in here and I've felt the Holy Ghost come down in this place service after service. I mean, 2 Sundays ago, this place was lit up with the glory of God. Last Sunday, this place was thriving. Last couple Wednesday nights, I felt like, you know, the pews are going to turn upside down. Glory of God is filling. But Brother Cooten, I have never, ever, ever got bored. I have never, ever, ever said, I'm just getting tired of this. It's just getting old hat. I wish it could be different. It's amazing. I've been feeling the Holy Ghost for 41 years, throwing up and down this body. I've been feeling Him filling me up. I've been praying to the same God for 41 years. I've been reading the same Bible for 41 years.
refreshed in the Lord's presence. He can't tell us. Run,